My name is Cheryl Broom, and I am the senior pastor here at Lotus Hills United Methodist Church. And if you are new to our community, we have a blue card in the pew in front of you and ask you to fill out a little information about yourself, what you're comfortable with sharing, so that we can reach out to you. Also in the pew is this yellow card, and it is a prayer request card. So we'll ask you, if you have a prayer request, to fill this out, and when the offering comes by, simply drop it in, and we will join in prayer with you over whatever it is that you need. You also got a really cool bulletin today, and on the back are some important announcements for you to note. So be sure and take that home with you, or note, especially the VBS dates, and a baptism class that's coming up. We'll have two classes for those who are seeking to be baptized. If you haven't or you have a loved one, be sure and look at April 30th so that we may do a baptism class so you'll know all about it. That's all I have for you, so let us begin our time of worship.
Morning. My name's Rex Donnelly, and it's really good to be with all of y'all in worship this morning. We light the candles as we begin worship to symbolize Christ's presence with us during worship. Will you please stand now in body or in spirit as we welcome the light of Christ? Our first scripture reading this morning is Romans 8, 27 through 29. I'll be reading the New Century Version. If you want to follow along, it's in your pew Bible on page 1030. God can see what is in people's hearts, and he knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit speaks to God for his people in the way God wants. We know that in everything God works for the good of those who love him. They are the people he called because that was his plan. God knew them before he made the world, and he chose them to be like his son so that Jesus would be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Great God, we thank you that we've been called according to your plan and purpose. We are grateful that you indeed work for the good of all who love you. We believe that you are causing all things to work together to achieve your great redemptive plan and purpose for all of humanity. For the gift of Jesus Christ, we thank you. It is wonderful to see your gracious hand working in our life and in the lives of all your children as you gently transform us into the lovely image of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
My name is Jesse Spean. I'm the Director of Christian Education here, and I'd like to invite our children forward for a short Spark moment before we head into Spark worship today. Good morning, kiddos.
Good morning, Jessie.
Miss Erin is wearing a happy birthday sash today because it's her birthday. Happy birthday, sweet girl. I have a question for you guys. Have you ever come to a dead end? Like you're trying to do your homework and you just can't figure out an equation you're trying to do? Or you've been in that situation before? Or maybe you're trying to like build something out of Legos and it's just not working the way you want it to.
Also,
have you ever had that happen?
Yes.
Sometimes our plans in life, they just don't work. Right? Have you? Yeah? You feel that? I feel that like every day as a parent. Sometimes my plans in life just don't work. And I have to trust that there's another plan out there. Whose plan would that be? God's plan. That's right. God has a plan. He has a plan to take care of all of us. He has a plan to do good things for each and every one of us. And Pastor Cheryl is going to be starting a sermon series about the plans God has for us. And in the children's ministry, we are going to be following along. So today we are going to learn from Jeremiah 29:11 that says God has a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. He has a plan for hope and a future for each and every one of us. And we're going to learn about that plan through butterflies because we've been talking about butterflies nonstop. So we're going to do more of that. We're going to sing praises to God. We're going to learn about butterflies.
Yes.
And we're going to do a craft. Does that sound good?
Yes.
All right, let's bow our heads, fold our hands, close our eyes, and let's talk to God. Say, dear God,
dear God,
we hold on to your promise.
We hold on to your promise.
And trust in your plan.
And trust in your plan.
That gives us hope.
That gives us hope.
And a future in you.
And a future in you.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to exit straight out of the back.
Jesse, thank you so much for your leadership and for the butterflies that are going to be set free soon, the caterpillars. She had a kids' party day yesterday and gave out caterpillars so that they can watch them be free. I hope that happens. I like to stick with these kind of butterflies because they always fly with Christ. For our morning prayer time today, I want to lift a few things, and then we'll go before God in prayer in the silence of our own prayers, and then follow that by a corporate prayer with all of us, and then the Lord's Prayer together. Again, if you have prayer requests, please fill those out on the yellow card and write as legibly as you can, but I know that God knows, right? Every prayer on our lips and every prayer in our heart, and God knows that. If you want us to join you in prayer, fill those cards out. First, I want to lift Dan and Sue Vestal. I got an email from them this morning that they made it to Honduras, and they were going to have a 5 or 6 hour trip to the place where they're going to be doing mission work. So I want to lift that before you. I can't go on today without saying that the Taylor Row, right there, is filled today in honor mostly of Libby's birthday, which was Friday. And it's an especially big birthday, but I'm not going to tell you which because I'd be mad if somebody called out my birthday year. She's proud of the number, which is 90 years young. So we celebrate God's gift of your life for these 90 years and the family that you bring forth with you. Also, I want to let you know that Janet Rytel, JB's sister-in-law, and Bobby Briggs' sister passed away on Thursday, and we'll be holding a service here in the sanctuary as soon as we come up with the day and time. I'll let you know. Also, we're praying for everyone in this world suffering the loss due to natural disasters and due to the violence in this world. And we pray that each of us here this day might serve the Lord our God with loving kindness toward others. Let's just take a few moments of silence that we might go before the Lord in our own prayers. God of grace and truth, we are here to worship you. We bring all of ourselves to you, all the good, all the bad, and the ugly. We entrust that our hidden, fearful, and fragile selves will be transformed by the power of your love, your gentle, loving care. Blessings and glory and honor are yours, O God, alone. Thank you for the many ways your Spirit breaks into our lives and into this troubled world. We offer all our prayers in the name of the one whose name is above every other, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So I'm going to give you a heads up that we're moving to Jeremiah 29:11 on page 717 in your pew Bible. If you'll pull that up, I'm going to challenge you to memorize this verse, but keep your finger in it as we go through this sermon today so you'll have it ready. God is good. All the time. So this is a saying that many of us have heard or maybe said before. I've said it thousands of times. And for years and years and years, I've heard it said, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is
good. See, you know it too. And it's true. And when I say it, I have no doubt about it, that God is good. Ah, gotcha. that God is good and all the time. Today we begin a 6-week sermon series on Christian life, finding meaning and purpose in life. Anybody need to find some meaning and purpose in their life? Well, today we start with God's greater good for you. It's been proven that people who have a sense of purpose have a better spiritual life, a better physical life. They have more vitality. If you have purpose in your life, you will live well and live fully. But how do we go about finding our purpose, our God-given purpose in life? The very best place to start, it's like the kids for children's time. What's the best place to start? Scripture, the Bible. You almost said Jesus, didn't you? It's a good place to start. But we're going to start with the Bible, with Scripture. And I want you to read with me the words found in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Now I know you have it ready, so let's read it together. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." This is the word of God for the people of God. Yeah, the very first place for us to start to look for our purpose in life is to consider well the meaning and purpose in the Bible. And this is a great verse, and that's why I'm going to ask you to memorize this verse. Because if you can memorize it, you can carry it in your head, you can carry it in your heart, and it will help you to remember that God does indeed have a purpose and plan for our life. "For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope." Just let that sink in for a minute. It means that each and every one of us, every single person born, God has given a plan and purpose. And most of us spend our whole life looking for that purpose. We're either looking for it consciously, or we're looking for it even unconsciously. And some people will give up. They will wander around life aimlessly. Maybe we've failed to find God's plan and purpose for our life because we've stopped looking, or we're looking in the wrong places. Maybe you're like that person that Johnny Lee sang that song for in Urban Cowboy. You know the song? "Looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes and looking for traces." You gotta sing it like that. "Of what I'm dreaming of." You know that song? Well, so many of us have gone through life searching, searching, searching in the wrong places for love. We've been searching in people's faces and in their eyes. We've been looking for our purpose in the wrong place. And that will leave us with more questions than answers. Trying to satisfy this inner desire to be loved and accepted can be heartbreaking, especially when we search for love in all the wrong places outside of God's love for us. So learning about what God has to say about us, about our purpose, is the logical place to start as we seek God's plan and purpose for our lives. Now, most people are going to be surprised to hear this, but the Bible is not about us. It's shocking, isn't it? It's not about people or animals or kings or queens. It's not about us, but it is completely and utterly about God. The Bible is God's book, and we don't even realize when we're looking through Scripture that we're trying to make it about our lives. And we ask ourselves so constantly about a message in church or about a Bible reading, how is that relevant to me? And yet, is that the right question? No question could push us further than the real story, because it's very much like going out at night and looking at the skies and assuming that the stars are there to look at us. We tend to be very self-centered. We start on the wrong side of the equation about what our purpose is when we start with ourselves. But instead, we can focus on being God-centered. Focusing on ourselves will never reveal our purpose in life. We go right to the owner's manual, the creator's guide, the Bible, and it will reveal to us the purpose of our life, that we may never forget that we were made by God for God. If you have a pencil and pen, you need to write that down. That's a write down. We are made by God for God. Typically, we look in self-help books, and I like self-help books. I've read a lot of them. And they have some predictable things that they say, steps that we can follow to find our purpose in life. We're told to consider our dreams, clarify our values, set our goals, figure out what we're good at, aim high and go for it, be disciplined, believe it and achieve it. Never give up. And of course, these recommendations can lead to an amazing, successful life. And most of us can succeed if we make goals and put our mind to it. We'll reach those goals. But fulfilling our life purpose and success are two different things. They are not the same thing. And when we approach the Bible this way, we can't help but read it as if we're the center of the biblical universe. And history revolves around us. It does, doesn't it? We need more than self-help advice. The Bible actually says self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. God is not just the starting point for our life. God is the source of it. That comes from Matthew chapter 16, 25, and those words are from The Message. When everything is read through the lens of self, self-improvement, self-contentment, then we're destined to miss the point. But this is what we always do. It's a wonder that most Christians, even who care deeply about the Word of God, are unable to put it all together. See, the Bible is not about us inserting ourselves into the story, but it is about God and God's story through Jesus Christ. It's a book that gives us God's character, God's plan, and God's purpose. If we read it wrong, we think it's about us. If you start to read the Bible asking the question about what is God's character in this, what does this say about how God wants people to live? If you start putting God in the center of that, your life will be transformed. Through the Bible, we can embrace faith and reason and independence and unity. We begin to recognize God in everything around us. And that is amazing. We realize that God has a divine plan and purpose greater than the fulfillment of our own needs. Instead of looking from life from the outside in, you begin to look at life from the inside out. And we can examine life and ask an important question, a couple of them. Why has God brought us here? What deeper lesson am I to learn from this encounter? You see, that's a whole shift around from what is God, what am I doing in my life for God? The Bible is the owner's manual and instruction book, and it begins and it ends with God, our Creator. And each one of us exists because we are made by God for God. And it is only when we get this, when we really get this, that life begins to make sense. We were made by God for God. God is our origin. God is our identity. God is our meaning. God is our purpose. God is our significance. God is our destiny. And the Bible says that before we were even born, God planned every moment of our lives. It is no accident that you are here, and that God longs for you to discover the purpose of your life. And his purpose was that he created us to live for God. The mission that we have chosen to fulfill on this earth can only be fulfilled by us. God planned that about each of the roles that we play. And we play these roles in order to make the world a better place and a home for God. Okay? We pray every Sunday. We did the Lord's Prayer. What did we pray? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Our life purpose is to focus so much on God and what God's plan is that the world becomes God's kingdom through us, in us, and around us. Our mission is to channel all our energies toward that. It is our duty, our life goal, to tap into every resource to refine and perfect this world we live in and make it home for God. We work so hard to make this home for us, and we ask God for help with that. God, will you help me do this? God, will you make this happen? Our role in life is to make this home for God and God's purposes. And this is the purpose of human life according to God. It's in the book. As we read Jeremiah, God says, I know the plan he has for you. Plans not to harm you. Plans to bring about hope in the future. Can you believe that about God and God's character? God has brought you here. And these words show us God's character that we can live into in this earth. During the next 6 weeks, we're going to ponder principles found in our memory verse, Jeremiah 29, as we discover God's good plan and purposes for our life. This verse is a verse to remember. It's not that hard. It teaches us the truth about God's plan and purpose in life. So I want you to know that and be sure that God has invited you to bless the world in God's name for this purpose. God has invited you to bless the world in God's name with a specific plan and purpose. So I'm going to invite you now to look at the verse again. But I want you to insert your name before you even say it. And you can say your name aloud or you can say it in your head, whatever works best for you. And then every time you see the word you or your, insert your name in it. Because this verse was intended for us to learn God's character and how to live our life. Will you do that? Let's start. Cheryl, do you have to say your name? For surely I know the plans I have for you, Cheryl, says the Lord. Plans for Cheryl's welfare and not for harm, to give Cheryl a future with hope. Copy that verse down and carry it with you. And then remember that God has a plan and purpose for your life. Whatever happens, look at it and ask those two questions. Why has God brought me here? And what deeper lesson can I learn from this encounter? Remember, it is God who created you, giving you unique abilities. The mission that we have been chosen to fulfill on this earth can be fulfilled by no one else but you. And it is our responsibility to know and become aware of our mission and channel all our energies toward it. To do this, we allow God to become our life. Doesn't take much. God only asks for a little slight opening, as small as the eye of a needle. Maybe you have a little corner of yourself, just a small corner that is reserved for God and God alone. And you go to that place. And I hope that it becomes clearer and clearer for you. The purpose of your life is so much greater than our personal fulfillment. So much greater than our own peace of mind. So much greater than our own happiness. It's so much greater even than our family or our career or our wildest dreams and ambitions. Today, remember, each one was placed here by God and for God. That's the most important thing. You were placed here by God, for God. God relies on us to bring forth his presence in the day-to-day events and current reality of this world. God relies on you when the world is so filled with horror and violence. God relies upon you to bring forth the power of God's Spirit through love and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And it is through you that God is served on this earth. So if not you, then who will serve Almighty God? I'll be praying for you, Lo, these 6 weeks, that you will find God's incredible love and purpose in your life on this planet as you discover or rediscover that it is God who is our very purpose for life. And just remember, God is good.
All the time?
God is good. Amen.
As we prepare to give our offerings this morning, we're always asked to give a little bit on why we give. Say our mission statement says we're to go out and be disciples of Christ, and I know I'm a failure at that. I work at it. I try to get better all the time. But part of that is we have to share all the good fortunes that we've all been given. And I don't think there's anyone in here that doesn't feel we've been given a lot of good fortune in our lives. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we praise you for your abundant blessings that we've received through your grace. We are grateful for the plan and purpose you have for our lives and for the lives of others. We give thanks that we can serve your greater good through our giving that will bless others in our community and your care. Thank you for allowing us to become part of your good plan as we give ourselves to others. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Now will the ushers come forward.
Please stand in body or spirit as we sing our song of praise called the Doxology. Let us pray. Almighty and awesome God, we give you thanks and praise that you have given us the means by which we can support your work here in this place. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless us in the use of these resources that we might honor and glorify you and expand your kingdom here on earth. This we pray through your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So glad that you're here today. Every sermon calls for an invitation to discipleship. That means you're called by God's Spirit to go forth into the world to do things in the name of Jesus Christ for God's plan and purpose for the world. And I pray this day that you're encouraged to do that. We also say our mission statement, which will appear up on the board. Will you say it with me so that we just know what we feel like God is sending us out into the world to do? Lotus Hills United Methodist Church is to grow and nurture disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community and the world. That is a big job, and you can do it when you know that God's plan and purpose is for you to be in the world to make a better place for God. Can you do it? All right, let's memorize that Jeremiah verse. We'll say it again for 6 weeks and carry it with you in your heart and carry it with you in your life, that you might know that God has good plans and purpose for each of us. Thank you so much for being in worship today. I really pray that God has moved in you in a new way, that you might understand further your purpose here on earth and here in this place. I really appreciate the music that y'all provided today and your beautiful playing. Sharon is amazing. I want to thank Rex for coming in early to practice. He didn't really, but... And thank you for making this a priority. You had to get around the bicycle race, didn't you? So it means a lot that you were here. When I came in early, I told Carl, I think, that we're going to be preaching to the choir today. So thank you. Go forth in the power of this blessing, that our Almighty God might prove forth to you the power of your purpose. Amen?
Amen.
Go forth in peace.
Thank you.